to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
As tears fall from the cliffs of Dover to Brighton and Hove, the tears continue to fall from Merseyside to Tyne Wear. Football indeed did not come home, but celebrations across two Spanish-speaking nations that have won it all. This is Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Football indeed did not come home, but it did. Vamos a casa. Len Moleko, thank you for joining me.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Tseppy, darling, welcome.
Hi, darling.
And everybody's favorite super sub.
Danko.
And a warm welcome to all of you, the ballers. Thank you once again for joining us here on Onside ZA. If you are joining as a new user on the Betway app, we all use it here. We have a great time with it. If you do join as a new user, use the affiliate code Onside ZA. It really helps us out a lot. Guys, Euro 2024 has come to an end. It is summertime. We've got all of the Ibiza holidays starting for the guys who made it all the way in the tournament. We've got all of the summer vacations coming up during our winter break.
Are you going to Ibiza?
I wish.
Oh, okay.
I wish.
Hey, just checking.
I'm not a pro footballer. I tried. Not very hard, but I tried.
You could have fooled us. Just saying.
I'm not like you, Professor Len.
I'm retired.
But the players head off season, and some of the friendly pre-season action has already kicked off for some of the clubs. Obviously, those who were playing in the European Championships get an extended vacation of sorts before they rejoin their clubs or sign on to their new clubs and things like that.
And get unveiled and things like that.
Oof, sold out crowd today. We'll get to that.
That was something else, but yeah.
But let's talk about football coming home.
Len Moleko.
I did. I'm welcome.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
This guy's excited. He's got his own feature now. It's not just the Len Moleko rant, and he's excited. Ballers, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get into your comments in a second. First of all, Tseppy, what did you think? Euro 2024 as a whole?
It was a good competition. I think more than anything, it showed us that the teams that we thought when we started the competition that we're going to get all the way to the end did not make it. Mm-hmm. I still believe that Germany, for me, was meant to be in the finals. I think that it was, it was a lucky break for England to even get as far as the finals. But Spain really deserved, to get to the final and ultimately raise the trophy for the fourth time.
Spain, they win it all. Yeah. It's been a while. It's been 12 years since we've seen Spain win a trophy.
Yep.
Very different side today to what they were. But in saying that, a big improvement to the lull that we saw in Spanish football after that sensational side that won it all in 2008, 2010, 2012, heavily Barcelona-driven. We saw Xavi and Iniesta at the game on Sunday. So Spain has changed a lot since then, even in style and philosophy. But success is back on the Spanish shores.
Question, which team would beat which team? 2008 versus 2004, Spain.
2010, 2008, 2012, Spain beats 2024.
I want to hear this.
All eyes on me. Oh, okay. Superstar. So you mean...
Show Tupac.
Xavi, Iniesta, David Villa, Carlos Busquets, Puyol, Sergio Ramos, Casillas
that team,
versus Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams, Rodri.
This team, yes, is good, but is nowhere near in quality to that team.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay. This team is still playing with Jesus Navas. Let's be real, guys.
Look, essentially 08, 2010, 2012, the majority of the team, 90.
Nine- David Silva, I think, joined that squad late as well. He wasn't part of the 2010 side. Well, oh, Juan Mata was in 2010, actually. I'm wrong.
Wasn't
Juan Mata?
David Villa was there in 2010.
David Silva.
Villa was the top goal scorer.
No, David.
Villa was the top goal scorer.
No, David. Of that squad. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think you can compare them, right? 2024 to 2012?
No, you can't.
I mean,
That squad was littered with talent. This one, yes, it's got talent, but certain position, you can see that they're still not really there yet in
but
terms of...
best on the continent for this year.
No, of course.
And well-deserved winners. I think they were the best team. They had a much harder run to the final than what England did.
Of course.
Much harder. I mean, France and Germany.
They made it look easy. France, Germany, Italy in the groups. They had Croatia as well in the groups.
Mm. Yes. And they won all of them. And England were drawing, winning 1-0, whatever, scraping by against teams that you expect them to have walked over.
Mm-hmm.
But would it be far-fetched to say this was firstly a tournament of unknowns and a tournament of kids?
Every European Championship has some young breakthrough stars. Every Copa has some young breakthrough stars. Every World Cup has some young breakthrough stars.
But in Copa, James Rodriguez is not young.
No, he was a young breakthrough young. Star.
Tim Maria is not young. Otamendi is not young.
James was breakthrough in 2010, 12 years ago, that he was a breakthrough young star.
Wasn't it 14 in Brazil?
Was it Brazil?
When he scored that volley goal?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a long time ago. 10 years ago.
This competition was really for younger guys.
Wait, 10 years ago? Yes,
10 years ago.
24 now, yes.
Bro, damn. Keep up.
James Rodriguez has been around, eh?
Yeah, no. And well done to him to win player of the tournament.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
He was fantastic. More goal contributions than own goal scored in Euro 2024. The biggest goal contributor in Euro 2024.
That should have been
goal.
The man of the tournament.
Man of the tournament.
Goal, own goal.
Speaking of man of the tournament. Okay, we'll get to the fixture. We're talking about the tournament overall. For me, Georgia.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Turkey.
Standout.
Of course.
Two big talking points.
Austria to a degree.
Austria. Some fantastic football from the seemingly smaller sides in European Championships. They played terrifically well.
And I think we can...
Slovakia,
we can
Slovenia.
Throw in Switzerland. They're not really a small side, but they're mid, you know?
I agree.
But I think they've shown good quality.
Yeah.
They've got some good players, Granit Xhaka and the likes.
Hmm.
Len, Poland disappointing. A few sides disappointing. I don't think Netherlands were fantastic.
They were a bit fantastic towards the end.
They had one really good game,
exactly.
I thought.
Yeah.
Other than that, I thought Netherlands were kind of disappointing.
I think it was the quarters game.
Yes, then they lost in the semis to England. But their game before England, they were quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Portugal will be disappointed in a way, although they looked good for parts of the tournament, but then they didn't look great.
We know
after
why they
that.
Lost.
I mean, I think we already know what contributed to either. It could have either been, you know, a contribution that was going to be to help them be successful, or it could have been at their detriment. And in this case, it was to their detriment. You know, I feel like there's a certain individual or just how the team was structured that could have potentially put them where they were supposed to be. But in this case, it worked against them.
Agreed. And I think that might be the end for Cristiano Ronaldo at
and that's okay.
Portuguese national
He's accomplished
level.
Great things.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I'm hoping it is. You know,
if it's not the end, then I don't know.
I'm hoping it is. And I think he has done everything. He has conquered football, I think, in my view, though he does not have the World Cup to show for it. But great players came and played fantastic football and never won World Cup as well, you know.
Yep.
Like who?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Ah, shame. I knew you were going to go there.
Wow.
Pavel Nedved.
Because you can't say Messi.
Some players are just born in the wrong countries.
Yeah, no, it happens. But I think Ronaldo was not born in a
Wayne
wrong culture.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard,
Paul
Steven Gerrard does not even have
a major trophy.
He
has
FA Cup.
Does not even have a Premier League.
He has a Champions League?
Yes, yes, in 2004, yes.
Okay.
No.
Five. Was it five?
No, it was six. No, it was seven. Seven.
Ballers, let us know. Okay. Ballers, let's get into your comments quickly.
That Liverpool played
AC Milan. Yeah, it was 2005. It kind of been.
It was five before Arsenal lost to Barcelona the following year. You were right, yes.
Gift Real G. No, I didn't get the color memo, clearly. They didn't let me know that we were supposed to wear red today.
Oh, wow. It was not planned, darling.
Yeah. Oh, the black and red.
That
yes.
is so yeah, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so you did get my email this morning,
yes,
right?
Yes, friend.
Ah, cool stuff.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so let's get... So the tournament overall, I picked out France as the top side of the tournament before the tournament started.
Yep. Mm.
They were disappointing.
So was England.
Yep.
We'll get to England.
France was disappointing. For them to even struggle to score goals with such kind of... With the quality that they have up front,
They only got eliminated by the eventual winners, Spain.
Yeah.
But the only goal from open play was the one against Spain.
Yeah.
But had France gone to the final...
One assist from Kylian Mbappe, a man who sold out the Bernabeu to do a little juggle in a speech.
Yeah.
So what do we contribute their poor performance to?
France. What do we say about France? We've said this. Players are tired. They've played too much football.
Yeah. Besides players being tired, and this is just my thoughts, and you can correct me, but I feel like when you stay too long at a club, it gets to a point where you can't reinvent the wheel. And I feel like Didier Deschamps can't reinvent that wheel. He's got all the talent that he has. He could play first half with a different squad and come back second half with another squad that can actually wallop everyone. But I feel like they just can't reinvent. There's no direction in their football, to say the least.
But
so it's monotonous.
Yeah, it's just
players are tired, man.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is, with the talent that they have, you could play first half with a different 11.
But the players are still tired.
Yeah, of course. It's an element which we can attribute.
Okay, so are we basically saying that had they had enough rest, then they would have performed better? Isn't that an easy way to just excuse them?
But if we're going to say that, then why are we saying England was poor? Like, why are we not saying...
Because they were also tired. No.
Why are we not saying that England players were tired?
They were tired.
I think that let's go through a few things. Just on this, before we close off on France, because I'd rather get to the final. I think that Didier Deschamps didn't find a solution for creating creativity and creating opportunities from the midfield.
Yeah.
They relied heavily on pace of Mbappe and Ousmane Dembele and thought that would bag them all the goals. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
I see it in the comments here as well. Paul Pogba being missed from that side. We've spoke about it during the live stream watch along.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul Pogba... I think that Paul Pogba gave France something that they didn't replace. So I'm not saying they missed Paul Pogba as an individual because he's the greatest player or anything like that. But what Paul Pogba did in that team was not addressed when he left the side.
Because, Len, can I add to what Marco is saying, Len? Paul Pogba gives you something, especially going forward. He's the player that can penetrate from the middle.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at how France was playing, every time when they've got the ball, they were going to the left or the right, cross in, you know, and it was not working out for them. And you can see that they lacked that creativity and they needed a player like Paul Pogba. Hence, I'm saying, like, for me, I feel like Didier Deschamps did not properly reinvent his team. It looked a little bit flat. For the stars that they had, I feel like they could have done better.
I agree. They have a stellar squad. And they have access to a lot of other stellar players that didn't make that squad. And I think Didier Deschamps... France were terrific in the build-up to this.
Yeah.
Just like Portugal were terrific in the build-up to the finals. And then lacked something when they were there. And I think it's probably a contribution of multiple factors.
Yes,
that
maybe fatigue, but there are other factors.
But here's the thing, and I beg to differ me, you see.
Mm.
Pogba wasn't there in 2022 and France went all the way to the final, literally. Like they pushed Argentina all the way. No Pogba.
Yeah.
So the Pogba factor, can we please take it out of the equation?
Okay. I wouldn't.
You can't really take it out of the equation. He's still a French player that has quality that they missed on the day.
The last time they won a tournament, he was key.
Yeah.
N'Golo Kanté was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that you can look at France and say, that was fantastic. Does he have another 2 years that you think Kante can come at the next tournament and help France again? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the game against Spain, you could see that the man is overrun.
Yeah.
I mean, the legs were gone. So much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about the final?
Yes. We're moving on there. Okay. Spain versus England. England, the entire tournament, not impressive, but kept going there. Perhaps had an easier run to the final on how they qualified on which side of the log. I mean, if you look at Spain's side of the log, it was Spain, Germany, Portugal, France. It was top sides that were drawn on that side of the equation. Whereas England, some historically good sides, some sides that played quite well this tournament, but not the same level. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that if Spain and Germany didn't play each other in the quarterfinals, they would have played each other in the final. They were the two standout quality sides. So Spain were the better side all tournament long, and then the better side in the final.
Question. about England.
Yes, right? Sir.
Yeah.
Was it luck to get to the final? Or in knockout football, what matters is the result, and the result that takes you to the next round.
I'll gladly answer that. Yes and no. First of all, they were lucky to be drawn on the side of the log they were drawn on, because England would have got thumped by Spain, Germany, France, or Portugal before they got to the final. Even Portugal, I'll say that. I think that, maybe I'm biased. I'm a big fan of Portugal, obviously. But I think that England
Bloom on the weekend.
England would have not scored a goal against any of those sides.
What do you attribute that to, though?
England couldn't score goals. They scored one in the final. They scored a late goal, Jude Bellingham.
One of the players is co-top goal scorer of the tournament. Co-golden boot winner.
I don't know. Yes. I think we need to also then consider.
He scored like a 90-something minutes goal against Minnows.
But to be fair, sorry, Tepi, before you come in. To be fair, if you look at it, for all the criticism, and I know I was one big critic of Harry Kane, saying that, okay, cool. Like, you know, he's like the bat-like type of person. You need to like slaughter a black chicken there to get rid of, because Spurs final Champions League, no trophy. England final Euros 2021 for 2020, no trophy.
Bundesliga.
First time in a very long time, Bayern Munich, no trophy.
No trophy. Because
Harry Kane is there. England again final, Harry Kane, no trophy. It's all good and well for banter, but if we're being honest, Harry Kane did not look himself. Either he was tired or he was tired.
But that
he
might
was
be the one
injury.
Person we can say was tired. I mean,
but
seen
then
Harry,
again, it boils down, Len, what you're saying. It boils down to why there's a whole outcry about Southgate's approach to the game. You know, yes, he got to the final, and we can argue that had he won, maybe we'd be singing a different tune. However, I mean, the approach to the game, a lot of people preferred him to make some changes, because we could see the way that England was playing from the get-go, that it was not enterprising at all, and they were leaving it too late. And you got players like Tony coming on, Watkins coming on, and actually saying, Cole Palmer saying, you know what, we are ready to do this, but he did not give them enough opportunity to actually show what they can do.
You know what? I think I would then also compare or share the same sentiments as France's coach, where there was just a lack of him being dynamic. And it's as though the manner in which he went about the game, his overall approach, was not one that was conducive for the team. I mean, we've spoken so many times about just how the placement of certain players, and you would see how much they would be struggling. And had he been more dynamic and probably forward-thinking, or just on the ball, then there would have been a different result. But you would remember that you mentioned the same thing about the French coach, that, you know, sometimes when you are in a position for so long that you lack different ideas. And that's exactly what happened with England. And that's the reality.
So for me, as we dissecting the English side, yes, we can argue that Southgate did his subs too late. But we go back and look at the game against, who were they playing in the semis?
Netherlands.
Yeah, right? He made the subs that he made, and those subs saved the game. Right?
Yeah.
So was it then a case of luck at that time? Was it whatever? That's point one.
one, they were playing against the worst side than Spain. Let's
no, fair get point. To that. Fair point. The other point is, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You change personnel. You start with your Anthony Gordons. You start with your Ivan Toney. You start with Ollie Watkins and Cole Palmer and the likes. Things go south. Fans come out and say, like, yeah, but why is Harry Kane? Why is poster boy?
But I feel like
Jude
he had
Bellingham
enough opportunity. I mean, remember, it is a cup competition at the end of the day, and you need to work with what you think is going to give you results. And if you had seen that, for example, like Kane was not going to be as instrumental, considering that his experience is and he has that armband. But if Watkins was meant to come in much earlier, then that's exactly what was meant to happen.
Mario, Harry Kane is the top goalscorer in
the
team.
We get that, but Watkins is a top goalscorer also in the Premier League.
No. In the team at the Euros.
Okay,
he's the one
granted,
scoring the goals.
Granted. Listen, but what did he do?
I agree. I wouldn't even talk about the Harry Kane issue. And I'll leave it at this about Gareth Southgate before we talk about him leaving the side. Gareth Southgate, and I think what frustrated fans everywhere, is there were obvious flaws in the system in terms of the approach to play. He was trying to force a square peg through a round hole. He wanted to play his 11 best players that he had available to him. And they didn't work in the system that you have to play. He didn't have natural width besides Saka. He didn't have natural width. And Phil Foden's not a wide player. Bellingham is not a wide player.
Strive more cutting to the right.
Yes.
Phil Foden, yeah.
So at the end of the day, Anthony Gordon is a worse player than Phil Foden. Eze is a worse player than Phil Foden. But they play a different role in the team. And I felt like Gareth Southgate perhaps was trying to force a top quality talent side in a system that didn't work necessarily for them.
Mm-hmm.
And before the tournament started, there were criticisms about the left-hand wing for England because Jack Grealish wasn't selected.
Yeah.
We understand why Marcus Rashford wasn't selected. I think Southgate would have loved for Rashford to have had a good season with Man United, take him there, and then things might have been a bit different. So I think that's the one thing I'll say about Gareth Southgate from a tactical standpoint as to why I think you can be slightly critical of him. But I don't think you can be over, and I agree with you, Len, on this one. I don't think you can be overly critical about Gareth Southgate. They got to the final. They lost to a better side who played better all tournament. Yes, England perhaps have more talent in their squad, but Spain played really well, and Gareth Southgate can't go onto the pitch and miss a penalty all by himself now. He's the manager.
But look,
he's not a player anymore.
If we're being fair, on the balance of play, right, that game could have swung either way.
Of course.
Let's start there.
Okay, who was the better side?
On the balance of play, it was Spain.
Come on.
But on the balance of play.
Yes.
You're making it sound like it was close.
Exactly.
No,
you're making it sound like the scoreline is accurate to what we saw on the game. Was it a 2-1?
But no. I think it's fair to say that because I'll tell you why. I mean, Pickford making those saves. It's still a good performance.
Yes, from Pickford.
Which keeps England in the game.
Yes, I agree. But do you understand that if...
Unless we're saying that Spain was better because they were attacking more.
That's what I'm saying, because they were able to infiltrate the defense. So that on its own is an indication that by the time it got to Pickford, it was meant to go through the midfield and it went through the defense in order to get to Pickford. So that's a clear indication that they were leaking in the back.
But if the score was...
From Pickford's perspective, yes, they played great. But the fact that Spain attacked even better and got to that point in so many near misses is an indication that Spain were a better team.
I love how quiet Marco is because he's like, carry on. So here's the thing, right?
Speak!
if the score was 1-0 to England and Spain kept on attacking and Pickford making saves, would it matter who played well?
Then we wouldn't be talking about how great Mourinho was.
Exactly.
If that is the case.
Yes. Look, Spain were the better team in terms of how they went about the game. Right? England, in patches, also pulled their own weight. I mean, we could be talking a different story, and thank God I was able to sleep at 11:30, had Olmo not decided to position himself where he positioned himself.
I think with England, friend, look, there was individual brilliance, okay? But we can't brilliance. Say there was individual brilliance. I'm not gonna lie. When Palmer eventually came in, he really did shake things up, and that's not a lie. Mm-hmm. Are you guys having like a thing here?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
We're making a joke about the individual brilliance that Jude Bellingham had one moment of a beautiful turner and then disappeared the rest of the year.
No.
Cole Palmer. Great Palmer strike, great assist from Bellingham. I think there was a sheer class.
That was a piece of magic.
But here's my argument about the game. I think the scoreline actually flattered England in several ways. Anything can happen in a final. We know that.
Yeah.
Small side. Denmark won a European championship. Greece won a European
championship against Portugal. Against France at home.
Yeah. So these sides, Portugal should not have won that final.
No, they should.
They were the worst side, right?
But they had a good coach.
So England could have won this final as the worst side.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is the way you're speaking about this makes it sound like it was a closer game besides the scoreline than what it actually was. Spain were far superior to England. Facts. I don't think it was a close game in terms of quality of the sides.
Facts.
I think tactical nuance from Spain. The defensive movement of the back four was terrific. The support from Rodri, phenomenal until he was brought off of the pitch. Mm-hmm. And then the replacements were fantastic at the same role.
Rodri's replacement was actually even better than Rodri.
In some ways, yes, I agree.
Yeah, in fact, Spain played way better after Rodri went out.
Okay.
Arguable, but sure.
No, for the final.
For the final, yes, of course. Yes, Rodri was terrific. He deserved player of the tournament. I think he was specifically speaking about the final. But if you look at the final goal for Spain, what we saw a lot in this tournament is the simple pass, the obvious pass, things like that. And it can work at times. It's also why we saw a bit of a lower scoring championship than what we've seen in the past. It started off full of goals and then it tapered down, right? Because tactically defensive units were terrific. And it was a very tactical tournament. Very tactical tournament. But in the final goal, instead of playing Cucurella immediately, the ball was played into the center of the field. One touch out to Cucurella. And that shift for the difficult ball and playing it to a phenomenal front line of Spain and the way that they adjust their game and the number of various roles that they're able to apply very well and knowing how to tactically utilize that was phenomenal. That last goal, if you break it down from the entire play, you see the entire England line shift and create that space for Cucurella to put in that final delivery. And that, those subtle differences in a game, Spain were so much better than England in that way that I think that it was a closer scoreline than what the performance of the game was. And England, I feel sorry for them in many ways and I feel sorry for the fans in many ways, but they didn't play well all tournaments. I don't know why we're surprised that they lost that final.
Look, I think going into the final, if you were a brave person, which I was, I put my money on England to win. Well, because the odds were higher.
Duh.
All right? We knew it was going to be a bridge too far for them to actually win against Spain. Spain has been very consistent in the tournament. Hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, a lot of English fans were hoping Spain actually pays their due of a bad game. Because a lot of the teams in the tournament
had
a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
Spain never had a bad game.
Not what?
So a lot of people were hoping that
this might be the banana peel.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was
kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Right? And to a degree, in I think it was the 85th or the 90th minute, the attempt from, I think it was first Ivan Toney, and then there was Declan Rice in the mix, and I can't remember who, with the clearance from the line by Danny Olmo, you almost thought this game is going to go to extra time. And
it really could have.
And suddenly it changes because Spain has not played extra time the entire tournament, but these ones have. They know how to manage extra time, and suddenly Spain find themselves in unfamiliar territory.
darling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and it was quite disheartening. Like I'm saying, it was quite disheartening because I feel like Botoni could have been introduced much earlier. Maybe we could have seen a better performing England. But I mean, there was something in me also that was saying, you know what, Southgate deserves to at least get to the finals and win this one. But it was not meant to be.
Yeah, out of the two ones that Spain were pulling from the quarterfinals, I strongly, and I agree with what Marco is saying, you know, though I do believe that sometimes being able to absorb a pressure, it's a characteristic of a good side.
I agree. I won't argue with that. I think you guys mentioned Jose Mourinho, that you shouldn't give him his flowers for winning everything he's won. If I say that the better side should win in terms of being attacking football.
Yes.
But I think Jose Mourinho brought a lot of tactical nuance to his defensive game that won him a lot of trophies. And I admire that. So I agree with you.
Yeah. I strongly feel that Spain were not as good as they were against Germany, in my view.
Okay. I agree. That was their best performance in the whole tournament. Yeah. And City Avenger in the comments here saying Spain are the first team to win all seven of their games. Mm. That is impressive.
Yeah.
They did win all seven of
their
games.
They deserved that win.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think England, this is the second time I've seen a real golden generation from England disappoint again for the country, but from a national
they
standpoint.
They can still go 2026.
We saw it with Belgium. As well, where we saw a golden generation disappoint.
Let's be honest, guys. Continental showpiece is difficult to win. It's extremely difficult.
Yes, you know,
I mean, Spain, with all the stars that have been coming out of Spain, it took them, what, 12 years? You know,
to retain it.
To retain it, you know. If we look at what Gareth Southgate has done with that English team, I think he deserves some credit to
and
a degree,
giving introducing us to like the likes of Bofoden, you know, really you nurturing them. Yeah,
because prior to him, I think we spoke about your Fabio Capello.
No, it was I actually went to go check it out. There was 100% winning rate by Big Sam.
Yeah, but then he
was one game.
Yeah. There were other antics at play.
Before
Sven-Goran Eriksson and Fabio Capello.
Before that, it was Roy Hodgson.
That's right.
And then before Roy, I think it was Goran Eriksson.
Who replaced Fabio Capello.
Fabio Capello.
And then I think out of all those managers, Fabio Capello was the longest serving manager out of...
I think so.
But we can check that.
Gareth, I think now is the longest serving.
Yes, I'm saying before Gareth.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But if we look at what Southgate has managed to take England, I think it deserves some credits.
So what do we say about his departure?
Gareth Southgate leaves a vacant role for a good England side. We thought that this would be the case, that after this tournament, whether they won or lost, we thought Gareth Southgate's been England manager for a while. It might be time for him to move on at the end of this.
Ineos.
That would be a very expensive move from Ineos, and they don't like to waste money because they've just signed Ten Hag to a new deal.
Yes. Now I'm a very much aware.
It would have been I don't think that move is happening at all. I think Gareth Southgate probably going to take a break for a while, let people forget his name a little bit in England.
Go to Ibiza.
Go to Ibiza, have some fun with
it doesn't Jack look like Grealish, the type, that one.
You know? But I think that the replacement now for England is going to be critical. And there's a few managers that are being spoken about that I don't think are going there, like Jurgen Klopp is one. Jurgen Klopp was approached last week by the United States Football Association to take over their men's national team. Mm. He said no.
I know why he said no.
He wants to spend time with his family.
Well, that too, and you don't want to get shot, man.
Oh, wow.
Mm. But anyway, carry on.
Wow.
I'm going to act like I didn't hear that.
Okay, it's okay.
Oh, wow, Mark.
What?
Keep your air on the ground. Anyway.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so it's been reported that the replacements could be Eddie Howe, is there?
Not going to happen.
Graham Potter?
He's at Newcastle.
Perhaps.
Graham Potter is a good option, actually. Yes. I think Graham Potter and Mauricio Pochettino.
They're saying there's also Lee Carsley. So yeah, it's Eddie Howe, Graham Potter, Lee Carsley, or Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah.
For me,
I think that if you can get Eddie Howe, I think he would be a good England manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Graham Potter would be a fantastic England manager.
But I think looking, this is why we hardly get managers that have coached at a team level, just transitioning to national level. Because I think the adrenaline of coaching
week in, week out.
Week in, week out is what they strive on. You know, I think mentioning your Eddie Howe and all of that, I think it's gonna be a stretch to get them to.
Mark really Potter has been unemployed for a while, so it will be easy.
Yeah,
for him
I suppose in that case it will be easy. But I think a lot of managers that coach at a team level, I think the adrenaline is what really.
I was gonna say you forgot Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not on the list though.
Then you can throw in Wayne Rooney there.
And Wayne Rooney?
I don't know.
Rooney's got a job.
But wouldn't it be premature for him to play?
Because he was playing with Pirates. Yeah,
the other day, yes.
So, but he's going to relegate them, McGarry Ferguson.
He's going to relegate England.
Plymouth.
Oh, okay. But the other thing as well is the mandate generally, by the looks of things, at St. George's, right, is stick to an English manager to instill the English way of doing things, which we don't know what that is.
Gift Real G saying Wayne Rooney should coach England. World Cup would come home. And Potter is comfy with his URF. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he got proper money when he left Chelsea.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I agree. I think an English manager would be best for them. Look, if they can... If I were in the English FA right now, I would have a chat to Jurgen Klopp. I know he said that he wants to spend time with his family, wants to relax. He's like done. He's stressed. He's tired. He doesn't want another role, whether it's national or club or whatever. I would have a chat to him, Jurgen Klopp, for England. I'd have some words, okay. See if we can convince him.
No, he's tired of losing.
Hey. But
and speaking of losing, guys, can I ask
Kazakhstan? That's 10-0.
Speaking of losing, may I ask, would you say then that Southgate's legacy is it always going to be defined as the guy who almost did it but did not really win a major trophy?
He's the second best England manager of all time. That's so his legacy.
The best being
who won 66 with them again? The name escapes
you.
Say what?
So what? Yeah. But I would be talking to Jurgen Klopp. Okay. I would be trying to charm Jurgen Klopp and say, listen, do you want 1 year off? Can we get an interim in and then bring you in after a year? They're going to qualify for the World
Cup
anyway.
That's going to be happening anyway.
They just need to qualify for the World Cup. They'll qualify. It doesn't matter who's there. They'll qualify.
Yeah.
If Jurgen Klopp wants 1 year off and then he comes in and coaches the side for a year before the World Cup, rock and roll football at a national level?
It works.
It will work. But who knows how to do it?
What about the pleasure? The pressure also
with
that
the,
comes
with
coaching?
Alexander Gomez, the one that was coaching at Liverpool.
Agree.
Because for me, if you look at it, and I think the English, wherever they are, if there are any ballers who are in England and they feel like they support England more than they do. Oh, if you are English, whether you are in South Africa
or you
are in Zimbabwe, it doesn't matter. As long as you are English, you are English.
Yeah, colonizer.
They shouldn't be disheartened. And I'll tell you why, right? With the squad that they have that played, I think the bulk of them were 2022, the World Cup.
Yeah.
The Fodens, the Judes, the Sakas.
Harry Kane was even captain in 2022. Yes.
The bulk of those were like the Cole Palmers, the...
You mean Cold Palmer?
Yeah.
the Graham, I'm sorry, not Graham, the Anthony Gordons, the Declan Rices of this world. They're still there in 2026.
And if Man United start to perform...
They had to be snuck into the conversation.
No, but really, if you add Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford performing at a high level to that England squad, they're a force to be reckoned with, aren't they?
Yes.
I think that left wing that we were talking about in terms of pace and thrust and skill and getting goals, when Marcus Rashford is on it, if he was in that England squad, it would make them a better side. So I think that it's a very good job, apparently a job that was offered to Jose Mourinho. He turned down while he was still at Roma, out of loyalty to Roma. Okay, Jose is at Fenerbahce now. So if I were the English FA, I'd put in a call to Jose and say, have one season at Fenerbahce.
And come through.
Then come through. I'd have a conversation with Jurgen Klopp, say, take 1 year rest, come through. I'd have a conversation with Mauricio Pochettino right now. I think he's a top class manager. I think that he's respected by the players who play underneath him in general. He was turning Chelsea around a corner. We were saying this. I think there's a couple top class managers who aren't English that I would be speaking to if I were the English FA. But if I'm going English, Eddie Howe may be a good option, but he's going to be difficult to take away from Newcastle right now, mm-hmm. isn't he?
But
Graham Potter would be a good option, especially if you're going to, you know what? Give Graham Potter a year, see if it works. Give him 1 year contract while you're waiting for Jurgen to have a rest, while you're waiting for Jose Mourinho, while you're waiting for some of the others to see if they're going to click.
Give
Graham Potter a year.
Yeah. Zolani's saying that Peter must submit his CV for the England job.
Peter hates national team football. I don't think it's something that... And in any case, Peter is good, but I don't see the English going for a Peter.
Yeah, of course.
The national team coach.
No, the other thing is...
You guys must tell me when we're moving away from this conversation because I just have a parting shot.
Okay, we're going to... The other interesting thing as well is you mentioned Marcus Rashford. He's 26, 28 in 2026.
Still prior.
Ben White might make a U-turn. Because now Southgate is gone.
I think he will.
Yes. He's 26, 28 in 2026.
Check, definitely.
The Grealishes of this world, maybe they would have picked up their performances. Mm-hmm. Marcus Rashford, like you mentioned.
Jude Bellingham will be slightly more experienced.
There's a lot.
Another 2 years at Real Madrid.
He'll stop posing for pictures or stop playing for the TV and the cameras.
Yeah.
How long are we going to keep on saying that?
What? But he does. Anyway.
If you deserve to be thrashed, you must be thrashed.
Yes. Who, me or him?
Jude.
Oh, okay.
What, guys?
But he does.
guys.
Okay. But he does. He plays for the cameras.
Like, no. At some point, that needs to stop, friend.
You know,
it does need to stop from him. He needs to stop doing it. I agree, Len.
Interestingly,
I agree, Len.
I was reading an article about his demeanor. Apparently, there's only one person he vibes with in the England dressing room.
He's quite confident.
And his other teammates don't actually understand him.
And that's okay. I mean, I hear that he is quite confident, very composed
individual. Arrogant.
No, there's arrogance and then there's confidence, my friend, and I think he's a confident individual.
I think there is an issue there of being a leader of that squad and him not wanting to appear for press conferences and things like that. I think that's an issue.
Yeah, no, man. Why is he not taking that responsibility?
Zamogukle.
Why is
it comes with the spotlight?
So Zamogukle saying Tuchel is the man for the England job.
A German?
Not a bad call.
Isn't he German?
Yes.
He's German.
But
don't they want an English coach?
If they do.
It's not written on the wall that they want.
Yeah. It's just
an assumption from a lot of people.
It's a philosophy that St. George's actually are like...
Yeah, they lost three managers were English.
Like Roy, Big Sam, and now
Fabio Saudi. Was Italian?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, the last three. So after Sven-Goran Eriksson, they seem to move away from foreign managers.
Yeah,
so
no, for sure, but I'm saying...
foreign managers.
It's not like they can't. They've done it before.
They've done it before in the past. So we'll see. But I don't think Tuchel would be a bad option.
He's not a bad option, yeah. Parting shot, we need to move.
Oh, okay. England have stolen enough gold. They deserve silver.
Oh, no.
Where's my bulletproof vest?
Okay, let's move along. Len Moleko, we've kept you waiting for far too long.
Yeah, wait, what? Yeah, let's
Oh, are you acting like you don't know?
Copa America.
Let's go.
Congratulations to Argentina.
Congratulations, Argentina. They know how to win things. They performed very well. They beat a very good Colombia side in the final. And Lionel Messi, although he picked up an injury.
Did you see how big his ankle was?
Some swelling. You're an old man. You don't take a shot as easy as you used to.
It was solid.
But it was so nice to see him frustrated and having tears of...
Why is he crying?
And it's changing into him having tears of joy. It was a nice moment.
Why is he crying?
How when a CRI?
That's a goat thing.
I'm trying to balance it out. I'm trying to be impartial.
That's what goats do.
It's not gonna work, bro.
Goats do two things. They climb mountains and they cry. No, it's it's understandable. He's clearly very passionate about winning things with the country. A passion he didn't seem to show since leaving Barcelona at club level.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't seem passionate about Inter Miami. He doesn't seem passionate about PSG at any point. He was passionate about Barcelona and he's passionate about Argentina. Mm. And that's the two passions that Lionel Messi has in his life.
I think he's the most decorated footballer of all time.
Of all time.
He is. Okay, so is the conversation or the debate... I'm asking, is the debate or the conversation around is he really the GOAT still ajar or is it closed now?
He's the most decorated footballer of all time. Full stop. So South gate closed.
Nah, bruh.
What do we say?
Yeah, it's not something that I wanna get into now.
So it's still ajar?
I think it's an old conversation, depending on which lens you're looking at it. But I think there's...
Which lens you're looking at it?
The Zizou lens.
Messi is the best player he's the best footballer of all time. Not of our generation, of all time.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay.
No, it's fine. Like, look, if teams and players are judged on accolades. He is the most decorated player of all time.
Yes, it says he surpassed his former teammate, Danny Alves.
Depends on what matters. If you've got a player that has won 3 World Cups.
The thing is about Danny, I'd like to hear this. Because
Pele? Did you watch him play in when there was no offside?
Doesn't matter.
No, Pele played against Farmers, but Danny Alves was the...
Yes. It says
he really did.
He surpassed his former teammate, Danny Alves, amassing a staggering 45 trophies across his illustrious career. That includes World Cup glory, multiple Copa Americas, Champions League titles, and a whole bunch of domestic honors.
I think that Danny Alves, he was good at winning everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he went, except court. Not very good at winning.
He's still
there.
In jail, ne?
Yeah.
he's supposed to be out.
Anyway,
I think he paid a fine or something.
He doesn't. He's not as good in court as he is in football. But he didn't win there. So Messi, most decorated player.
GOAT.
I think that the GOAT argument is difficult, but you can probably. And I was joking about Farmers with Pele. I think that there's some players that there's probably 5 or 6 players that you pick out in the history of football.
That, Pele, Maradona,
that are all
Ronaldo.
The greatest of all time. Zizou, Maradona, R9 Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, Pele.
Can I ask a question, guys? It's random, I know.
Go for it, bro.
While we're on the Copa America conversation.
Yeah.
Do you think they sent Darwin Nunes to shoot at Donald Trump?
Oh, man.
Oh, this is annoying.
The shot was close. It wasn't him.
No, it was very. It wasn't him.
So it was Darwin Nunes then.
Wow. No, it can't. It cannot have been. Then we will be singing Amagugu for.
No. Never mind.
Politics. Mac O'Berry Studio saying Ronaldinho. Most entertaining player of all time.
He was a showman.
Most talented showman, whatever, of all time.
But he didn't play for the
camera.
But
not the greatest of all time. I don't think that. I think Ronaldinho.
Yeah, if we go with accolades, then Messi's the greatest of all time.
But what do you measure football?
I don't think you can compare Ronaldinho to Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi in terms of longevity, goals scored, like ability to change a game, things like that. He was a great player. He was fun to watch.
Yeah.
If he was disciplined and worked harder and did all the things that Messi...
And he stopped drugging.
Yeah.
But that man was a rock star, eh?
Before the game, yeah.
If he did all of those things, maybe he would be mentioned, but I don't think that he can compare to those top players like
Messi. Then Messi is the greatest of all time, guys.
He's probably Messi's... Look, Messi and Ronaldo.
Are you saying probably, or are you saying he is?
I won't say.
Use your words.
Because I think that if you put Messi in the Premier League and when Cristiano Ronaldo was in the Premier League, it wouldn't look the same.
We don't know.
I'm saying I think, but we don't know.
Okay.
But yes, Messi's won it all. To be fair, he had Xavi and Iniesta with him when he was winning it all most of the time.
Cristiano Ronaldo had Karim Benzema, Mesut Ozil, Toni Kroos.
Also true.
Modric.
Also true. For a shorter period of time.
He went through most of them. And
So he's a GOAT.
Enough.
Okay. Yeah, Messi is the greatest footballer of
all
time.
Well done, Argentina. A good Copa. At least it was less tactical. Copa. It was just come, mood, score goals.
16 teams after all, man.
Doesn't matter.
Less tactical in the Euros. The Euros looks like scientists in South America, as we love them for it. It's let's play football. Let's make it pretty. Let's have fun.
Do you think Spain would have actually gotten to the final if they were playing in the Copa America?
By the evidence of the last World Cup only 2 years ago, no.
Yeah, no, look, it's a difficult one to say, you know, because I didn't watch enough Copa to have a definitive opinion.
Don't say enough. You didn't watch any games.
I did try.
I think perhaps, look, it's hard to say, but I think that the European Championships were very tactical. They would have stifled a lot of those teams because they would have been able to strategically block out some of the offensive effects of those South American teams.
Let's be honest, where are the most World Cup trophies sitting?
South America.
No, they're not in the South.
Argentina,
closed.
Brazil.
It's all because of Pelé when he was playing with FAMAS.
Wow. Pelé is one.
It's not untrue.
Pelé is a legend, bro.
Okay, so that's a wrap on... Oh, Johan Cruyff. Good call. Good call,
oh,
Johan Cruyff.
Johan Cruyff.
Yeah, great player.
Oh, yes. He's also part of the greatest. I just didn't mention his name.
Do you know when we were at Ajax together, right?
You and Johan?
Yes, at the academy.
You and Johan.
Okay, never mind. I kid. Okay. But anyway, speaking of the Copa, before we advance on to the next segment.
This is an interesting one. Very, very quickly. Sorry, Muleko. Mbonelo Mkhono saying Argentina won't even make it to the semis in AFCON.
Not true. AFCON was great, though.
It was great.
It was great. The teams played well. Of course. Argentina's a good side.
Yeah.
Look. Argentina won the World Cup.
That World Cup of penalties. Ah, bro. When I watched that thing back, yes, they've won it. But when I watched that thing back,
just 2 years ago.
My guy, like,
it's okay. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, like, to me, it just feels like, you know what?
Brazil won a World Cup via penalties in '94.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying,
I remember
is,
before
I'm
game,
talking about penalties that were awarded in the game, Len.
Before the game, I remember when we were practicing penalties with Roberto Baggio, right? Because
my buddy Baggio.
I was the keeper. It was penalties.
You guys first became friends at Italia 90, eh? Game,
yes, man. We met at Italia 90, actually, yeah.
Wow.
But like some because I think 94 was penalties, 98 was
I'm
not,
not
penalties.
I'm not talking about penalties to decide the fixture. I'm talking about penalties awarded in the 90 minutes of the game. They were questionable.
But there was VAR, man.
My man, we've seen VAR doing crazy things.
Okay.
Cucurella handled the ball with his hand extended.
That's
and it
what
was
I
not
heard.
Awarded.
But he can't handle
though.
The ball with his feet now, can he?
Of course.
Moving on.
Anyway,
Len Moleko.
Yes, I was my point. Copa America. Remember in 2009-2008 when South Africa was awarded the World Cup.
Yeah.
The bid to host the World Cup.
Yes.
It was not awarded in 2008.
It was awarded in 2006.
Yes.
Yes. But I'm saying in 2008. Okay. Well, after we were awarded the rights to host the World Cup.
Okay.
We were being blasted about crime in South Africa.
Yes.
You know, lions running the streets and elephants
and poverty
in your
and
backyard
no infrastructure.
And whatever. Did you see what was happening in the United States? And this is leading up to a World Cup that is being hosted in 2026. Fans fighting with no security seemingly there to actually restore order.
Not enough that, security.
That
was
in
security.
The game between Uruguay and Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the final, it was the same thing. You had fans storming into the stadium and unruliness and security seemingly not there to be able to contain the fans.
Okay.
I don't even want to talk about gun control in the States. It's a mess. You can buy a gun at Walmart like you're buying airtime.
Yeah, no. Right? I want to hear your point, yeah.
The point is it safe to actually host the World Cup in the USA?
Yeah, it is.
I think, okay.
I mean, when you've got a former president and a nominee or a candidate to be president, just randomly being shot in jail.
Okay, first of all, you've only mentioned the USA here. Mexico is a co-host of that. 36 political assassinations in the build-up to their election.
Exactly.
I think the safest place we can say is Canada.
No, they've got Drake.
Ah. He's not like us.
He's not safe from Kendrick.
I think gun control is a polarizing issue in America because there are many that are for and against, right? And it's a big political issue also. And it doesn't help that, you know, like you've mentioned right now, the former president was, there was an attempt on his assassination. I think it's quite unfair if you make a comparison to South Africa, how the overall media kind of are a bit more lenient towards the Americas and overall how they speak about us as Africans. I think we were able to accomplish great things and also deliver a World Cup that neither of them were even expecting. And security is a big issue. And we cannot just say that we are going to be safe in America just because it's America. There are issues there and they're becoming worse by the day. There are multiple shootings and it's something that needs to be spoken about. They need to somehow increase security. I'm not sure how they're going to go about it. The World Cup is coming up just now and there's just so much unrest in the United States. So I'm quite concerned.
And you've got 16 teams. It's a copper tournament.
Yeah, 16 the World teams Cup. Are from the near regions around there, right? It makes sense, right? Same as the Euro in 2021. There was the same problem with fans. First and foremost...
No, for the final.
Yeah, first and foremost, why are people going to the stadium without a ticket? What are you hoping it's going to happen?
I know, that's a problem here as well. Yeah. That one we know.
But what I'm saying is, when are fans going to take accountability?
It's just unruliness.
It's unruliness. It does not belong in football. If you don't have a ticket, why are you going to the stadium? In those numbers, that's scary. Which means fans don't respect the game that they love so much.
But I get it, even with Euro 2021, I don't know if you watched the documentary that I recommend. There was one guy who was actually very proud of the fact that he left his house without a ticket and ended up inside the stadium.
Yeah. That's crazy. So
have you guys not met human beings before? This is something to be proud of. This is humans. Yes. This is what they do.
Len, I agree with you. They are content, right? And right, we write by addressing those concerns. Even here in South Africa, there were concerns. Whatever the world was writing about, it was not something that they just pick up from somewhere in the air.
Yes,
we've got issues with crime.
I agree with you, Super Sub, but the reality. Manner in which they go about it with us compared to other nations, that's where the disconnect is.
We were Donald Trump, chief.
They're not.
We also don't do justice to ourselves because our laundry is out there for the world to see.
And that's the thing. You know, our laundry is out there to see because once again, the media does it. They perpetuate a certain outlook of our country. Whereas in other nations, they try to make it.
We cannot underscore crime in this country.
Facts.
It's a reality.
Yes, but we do not have the same amount of gun violence that the United States has.
You'll be shocked. No, you'll be shocked if you go
percentage
check.
Per capita, it's much higher here in South Africa.
You'll be
per
shocked.
Per capita, I mean, there's 300 capita. Million of them.
The difference is that we behave when we've got visitors.
Wow!
Because the World Cup was seamless.
It was fantastic.
We behaved, we had visitors, you know.
Listen, I think that I feel like we're just attacking the USA and Mexico and Canada. And what we're saying, it's not like they're not valid points, but it feels like we're attacking them just because South Africa was attacked.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
Yeah, we must attack everyone.
I'm a bit upset. I don't want to watch games at 2 in the morning. Do you know what I'm saying? We've got valid points. You brought up that South Africa was attacked before we brought this up. And we were saying that South Africa was unfairly attacked. And maybe we're unfairly attacking the United States in a way, even though there's valid points. The press had valid points for South Africa as well. But we can only see what happens when it comes.
I'm a South African, of course. I love this country.
I'm an African.
I will absolutely...
Our crime is out of hands.
I will agree with you completely on this one. South Africa was treated unfairly in those media presentations ahead of the World Cup in South Africa, and I'm glad we proved them wrong. And we continue to see it with the latest AFCON was the best organized tournament that we've seen in a very long time. No one is able to organize a tournament to the extent that they organized in AFCON. The level of the refereeing, VAR, etc., etc., etc. It was fantastic. So I'm glad that we keep shutting the media up from an African perspective. Africa is not treated fairly. From the media's perspective, especially from Europe and North America, et cetera.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're proud, we do a good job, and we carry on about our way.
Yeah, that's it.
Moving on, Tepi, darling. It's time to go around the world with Tepi Worldwide, brought to you by Betway and the Aviator Game. Betway, get way more.
Woo, guys. Okay. In fact, this one is it's a good build-up that we've just spoken about, just the unruliness that was happening in South America. And the first story is that we are in Colombia. It says a Colombian Football Federation president, his name is Ramon Jesuran, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this correctly. He was arrested at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens in Florida after Argentina beat Colombia at the Copa America, which happened on Sunday. It says that he's the vice president of the tournament organizer and the South American Soccer Federation president, and was charged with 3 felony counts of battery on specified official or employees. It says here, according to the police, there were 27 arrests and 55 ejections, by the way, which happened on the day. And he was arrested on the same battery charges, plus 1 misdemeanor battery charge in the same altercation. So the story is that he was trying to get into the tunnel when there was all this commotion, himself and his son, and the securities tried to stop him from entering via the tunnel, and he became aggressive and irate. And he beat up police officers. Himself and his son are arrested as we speak. So once again, driving back to what we're saying about just overall international football really is quite unruly. And what happened in South America?
Yeah, no, I think fans in Africa have shown that when there are international tournaments, we sort of like behave, you know, because we've got manners.
And we've got Cape Verde.
Wow, are we still there?
You know, because I mean, those things like this, you will not hear of them in Africa when there's like international tournaments, you know.
We are very composed and very respectful individuals, and I like that about us. Another story, you would know him, Thomas Müller, has announced his retirement from international football. Very, very quickly, Golden Boot and FIFA Young Player Award back in 2010, World Cup Glory 2014, 131 appearances and 45 goals, and the end of an era.
Wasn't he a baby in 2010?
Yeah, it was.
So we're a youngster for Germany.
But he looks the same.
Yeah.
And didn't he win like either the young player of the tournament?
That's what I just said.
He won young player.
I just said that, yeah. Okay. Golden Boot and FIFA Young Player Award in 2010.
Yes. I was not listening, sorry. I was reading.
Where's your ear?
You're reading comments.
I'm not a sniper here, my friend.
Are we doing this the whole time? Oh my God.
Shots,
my
fire
vest.
Shots. No, you must say, you must look for your shoes, not your... Anyway, carry on.
Müller. So yes, he's retiring and we just want to say congratulations to him and thank you for his dissecting technical formations that are reminiscent about his football legend. So congratulations to him. My lasty, I have another story.
Just crazy. Yeah, while you're searching for that story.
Yes, my friend.
It's crazy how Müller just got only 45 goals.
Yeah.
You've got a player like Romelu Lukaku who's got like 75 goals for national team. It's crazy.
Who's England? Is it Miroslav Klose who's Germany's all-time leading goal scorer, hey?
Yep.
I mean, that man would just score goals.
Yep, for fun.
And remember, Mario Gomez was a big goal scorer for Germany as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, jeez, it's hard to catch up to some of those boys.
Kamuelo Palane on the comment is asking, has Di Maria retired from international football?
Yes.
Done.
He is it trying to come out with a statement?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he signed a one-year contract renewal with Benfica. Oh. So he'll
Di Maria,
the one that was shot at
home.
No, they just robbed his house.
They robbed, shot at his house.
They didn't shoot.
They didn't shoot?
They just robbed the house.
Oh, yes. I did a story on him.
He wasn't happy.
Oh, yes. Okay. Very, very quickly. This one is just a heartwarming one. So what happened is that back in 2007, there was a baby that was cradled by Lionel Messi. And it just so happened that this baby is now what we know him as, the star, Uyamao. It says that the setting was a visitor's locker room at the Camp Nou in Barcelona. Messi, already a rising star at the time, held the baby in his arms. The baby was none other than Lamine Yamal. Now, it says here, and this is actually a question, that he was carried by him. He was still a baby at the time, and Messi was obviously having a star rise. And here we find him now being such an accomplished footballer. Are certain things just destined for you?
Okay, I mean,
I guess. I mean, you know, when me and Jomo and them, right, when we were starting off.
Thank you so much for joining us. Okay. Len Moleko, professor, come and tell us your story.
No, it's fine. It's like, I agree with something.
Was it destined, like being at the right place, right time, being helped by such a legend and only becoming a legend in the making yourself?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think you enter these competitions if you love football, and you know, there's all those Project Mbappe videos that you see on the internet when someone's little kid is like
15 years later.
If you love football that much and your baby, you're winning a competition to do photos with Messi, that baby is coming out there with a ball at his feet every day. And that's what it takes to be great. But
cosmic alignment.
Sure. Yeah. Very interesting.
Zing.
Yeah. This is an interesting one.
Look, it is. It's just a heartwarming story.
It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
I mean, was it, I think it was it almost as well as a kid, picture that he took with Messi, because they Spanish Messi was in Spain for the bulk of his life.
Yeah, and I saw recently, you know, it happens. I saw recently, this is not football related.
Yeah.
I saw an ad of Jup Jup, of Coke.
Oh, yeah, when he was with doctor, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jup Jup was taking Coke.
Yeah, he was drinking Coke.
Oh, drinking Coke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Colombia makes one copper final and listen to you. Okay. Okay.
Yes, and by the way, I did not do research on that story about Yamal getting in trouble with the German police or something to that effect.
Oh yes, he's 16. German law does not allow anybody who's under the age of 18 to work past the hour, I think 8 o'clock or 9,
mm-hmm.
Or 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
So every time Spain played him, if he played right, past a certain hour of the day, then Spain would be fined because German laws obviously don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
And work in this case for Spain means him playing the actual game and media interviews and whatever. So for the final, because it finished at 11 o'clock, it's already past the...
His curfew
per se.
Yeah.
And doing media appointments and press conferences or whatever, that's also still considered work.
Yeah.
Next day. Just wait. Yeah, just do it the next day. Wait.
Our international media will be gone. So I think based on that, then I think that's why the Spanish are probably in trouble and they're going to pay a fine.
Yeah.
It's just paying a fine.
I mean, nothing major. That's all we have for you worldwide.
Yeah, the labor laws of Germany.
City Avenger talking about Barcelona's academy, La Masia, is known for these types of players. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Messi's from there.
Yeah.
Xavi from there.
Fabregas is from there.
There's some terrific academies.
Piqué. There's a whole lot of them.
And I don't think many can stake a claim to developing top-class players in the same way that La Masia does.
The thing about La Masia is that a lot of players that comes from that academy is like they're level-headed. They are footballers before anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel... Lamine Yamal should be.
Yeah, I don't fear for him.
For him simply, to be performing at this level at his age, it speaks to that.
Yeah, it speaks to that. And you can, you know, Yamal is like 16, but that boy, his composure, the way he approaches the game.
Yeah, he could also date is me, over like, 20. Yeah.
No, his game, I'm saying it's the sideshows that I'm worried about. And with the way things are going, he must just brace himself.
Look, I think he's got good structures.
You missed that. Anyway,
legendary me, DM me. Yeah, we'll sort something out for you.
Okay, so are we saying, do we say that there is going to be a lot of pressure on Yamal yet? Should there be pressure on the young man?
There will be. We go back to the conversation that we were having last week. I mean, the pressure that Jude Bellingham, for instance, is under now. You're a footballer. The whole world's attention is on you. Suddenly you become a poster boy.
Megastar.
You end up doing more adverts than you actually do training. And when I said he must brace himself, he wears braces.
okay. Boop, 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 boop.
It's that. We spoke about that last
time. I didn't even know he wore braces.
Who, me or him?
No, he clearly watches him.
Yeah, I'm saying I didn't even know.
Okay, sorry. Never mind.
Come on now.
How? But like, essentially, I'm talking about the side shows. I feel he just needs to be protected. It must be football first, and everything else must be
secondary.
A hobby. It must, like, him playing Fortnite.
Yeah, look, I mean, night. Like I was saying earlier,
Len, after doing his homework,
La Masia structures. I mean, we've seen the greats coming out of there. You know, I mean, Messi moved there at a very young age. His entire family was moved there. They just know how to cook these players.
Okay.
Like I said, look, La Masia then and now, and the attention, again, we go back to Bielsa's sentiments last week that we spoke about. Was it last week?
Yes,
it was last week. That's essentially what I'm referring to.
Okay, well, I'm referring us over to DStv Premiership Matters, bringing it domestically. Guys?
Not a lot to talk about. Rulan is going to Wydad Casablanca.
I'm proud of that man.
We said that last week, but it wasn't confirmed.
It wasn't confirmed, yes.
But the worst kept secret in football.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that move.
That's good. Look, I agree. For me, it's got a couple of... It worries me a little bit.
In the sense of?
In a sense that, look, Wydad is a very trigger-happy side.
Of course, nothing new.
They've gone through quite a number of managers over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Rulan is going into a team that did not qualify for continental football. So the expectation is that he takes them back there.
Yeah. But aren't they playing in Club World Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Club World Cup and probably AFL, assuming there is AFL this year.
Yeah.
Or the season, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's the pressures at Wydad. Like, do you think he will get as much leeway? He does not need leeway.
He's Rulani Mukwena.
Yes, okay. And I think
he's one of the greats that we've produced in this country. And let's give him a chance to go show what South Africa has.
Let's see how he does.
I agree.
I'm not disputing that.
Let's see how he does.
I
agree.
And I think he's a big boy, and I think he's able to take on that pressure.
Yeah.
There were many other clubs wanted him, actually, and he went for Wydad. I love his ambition. I think that his ambition is what brought him here to start with.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And it's quite focused. Nice also. I think in Champions League, they played against Wydad and they won, correct? Sundowns when he was. And I think that's where they really showed.
They were knocked out by Wydad.
They played with them, didn't they?
No, they were knocked out by Wydad.
In the last, when Vala scored an own goal, wasn't it Wydad? Or was it?
It was
Raja?
I'll tell you.
It was Wydad, man. Because
it was Wydad.
We were supposed to play. We were going to play Al Ahly in the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were knocked out by Wydad.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the other thing about Rulani is, in as much as yes, whatever, doing well, we're proud of him, da 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 da, all of that, jazz, doom, 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 doom.
Doom.
He needs to tweak his emotional intelligence a little bit.
What do you mean by that?
The utterances, the way he went about in press conferences.
Are you saying PR publicly?
Yes.
Or within the club as we're not aware of, but we think
publicly.
It might have.
He needs to tweak.
It might have, like you said, the EQ, it might have been present in the Sundowns makeup behind the cameras as well. Away from the camera.
Perhaps.
Because we think that's a possibility.
Perhaps, probably. But he needs to mature a little bit.
From the PR standpoint.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Especially because, I mean, he's going to be a foreign coach at Wydad.
Exactly.
They're going to tear him apart there if he...
And you know, the crazy thing, there was this picture and it like literally gave me goosebumps where he was being unveiled, his first press conference, right?
In that suit.
Generally, yeah.
Yes.
The dictator suit. Generally, he's used to like Newsroom Africa, ENCA, SABC, Kaya FM, what like, no, Tenyana. Did you see the amount of media that was there?
I think it's going to be a great learning curve for him.
There was about 35 or 40 mics in front of him.
Yeah, I saw those. I'm like, yeah, what the hell is going on? Tip, you were right. AFL Sundowns beat Wydad.
Yes, they did, yeah.
AFL. We're talking about AFL, not Champions League.
I said Champions League, my bad.
Yeah, AFL it was. But Champions League, they drew.
Yes.
Okay. They drew 0-0. Sundowns drew 0-0 away. And then they drew 2-2 here at home. And then that's how we got to go through.
Well, Bola, when we were doing maths, yes. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Sundowns did not have likes. Wydad is one team that Sundowns used to beat a lot. I think Sundowns struggled a lot with like your Al Ahly.
Yep.
Sundowns struggles with Al Ahly.
I mean, we've had our fair
share. No.
In a way.
Al Ahly is Sundowns'
I'll tell you who I'm disappointed with. I'm disappointed with Steve Compeller.
Rant, my friend.
I don't understand why a coach like Steve Compeller keep on going back to Sundowns to be called a senior coach. You know, when a 37-year-old player like a coach like Rulani have taken Sundown over and actually made it what it is. And then now he's moving abroad and we still have coaches like Steve Compella, you know, under the radar per se. You know?
Then begs the question very, very quickly, Wena Supersub, and to you guys as well. Would you say that the reason that maybe Coach Steve even left Sundowns to go to Swallows and then Golden Arrows and then come back just when Rulani left, could there be something there?
It's not a coincidence.
What is it exactly?
Yeah, it's been reported that they did not get along.
Look, the setup might be slightly different this time.
Yes, because Rulani is gone.
So it's going to Mangoba and him.
I mean, with Compella coming back.
But there's still Mangoba there.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying.
But the issue was not with Mangoba.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, for me, my gripe with Steve Compella is not about the politics that are there at Sundowns. It's just the Sundowns are still going to appoint a head coach. Mm.
So him just keep on going back and not really going up the ladder.
I'm telling you now, it's going to happen.
What if they make both co-coaches? I think they've done that setup before.
Perhaps, but I just feel like, you know what? You're Steve Compella. You should be making a name for yourself out there. You know, like
you did,
maybe I just believe so much in him that I feel like going to play second fiddle to another manager at Sundown, for me, I feel like he can do better.
I think the likes of Rulani then, you know, playing their trade continentally is going to open doors for other coaches, and hopefully both Steve Compella will follow suit.
Well, pizza crawl so that they can run.
Precisely. And I Rulani mean, here
Fadlu is there
at Simba.
Exactly. So let's see.
Okay. Coach Gavin, anyway? News at Super Sub, at Supersport.
Ah, it's a good marriage. They can renew.
And there's lots of freeze that he can nibble on this season.
Did you see the entire list of the freeze? Like from Bongani Zungu, Sitebe. It's a lot.
Bopule.
Munare is already taken.
I think by Amazulu, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's Super Sport. I think Munare is going
Munare
to
Super went back to Super Sport. Or is going to Super Sport.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to Super Sport.
Oh.
Can double check that, Tepi?
I will.
Yeah.
No, but there's quality.
There's a lot.
There's quality that
Cirino is one of them as well.
But he's being linked with Chiefs or Pirates.
Yeah, he's been offered to those two.
Oh, yeah. Offered, yes.
By his agents.
By his agents, yeah.
Jeez, imagine being Gaston Cirino and you are surplus to requirement at Mamelodi Sundowns. Oh, and big ups, they released their new jersey today. Looks okay.
It's the same jersey, man. Come on, Sundowns. Puma, come on. They're playing with Mamelodi Sundowns there.
We don't know.
They just changed the stripes on the neck.
Okay, moving on. Stan Chabalala. Super Sub. A known Pirates fan.
Yeah, you know, it's sad, and we touched on the issue of crime.
Human beings are cruel.
You know, and the man succumbed to injuries that he sustained when he was getting robbed, from the reports that I read, you know.
From his house. This happened back in March, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's so sad. I mean, you know, as a Pirates fan, I feel like we lost a football time machine, you know.
Munara is going to Supersport.
Yeah, so...
The stories that men would tell, man.
I'm so sad, you know, Marco.
The stories that men would tell.
Losing Stan is like painting a library.
Mm.
That's how big Stan is for South African football, you know. And for him to die in a manner which he did, I feel it's sad, you know. It's not something that one can take easily. The man, if you are sick and it's old age... It was something different, but for him to die in the hands of people that, we call South Africans, you know, it's sad.
Oh, sorry, for the record, Thabo Munare went to Skukuna United. No, he's at Skukuna.
Okay.
Anyway, but going back to Brass then.
This is 22 June, so yeah.
So, that was actually very profound, the burning of the library.
Yeah.
What you just said now. I mean, there's a story that I read that the coining of the phrase Shushan and Piano.
It was from him.
Brasten had gone to Italy, and the phrase piano, I just can't remember what it means. And it was.
In Italian, piano is quiet.
Quiet. Okay. But like something like that. So he coined that from hearing Trapattoni using the phrase piano in an approach to a way that
Juventus needed to play. So the piano, and then he came to the side and polished it, and then it became Shushine and piano kind of vibes. I remember reading that story somewhere. But like, what a man.
What a legend.
The talents that he, or the talent, a lot of players that he unearthed alongside the likes of Praje, Jomo Sono, and I mean, him being one of the founding members of Kaizer Chiefs as well.
Yeah.
And
with the great, what's his name? I forgot his name, the one that was shot.
Yes. But like, oh.
Yeah, he was. His storytelling is something that we're gonna miss.
We could
do an entire show about Rustan, you know, and
we could be sitting here with Stan.
I remember Len, we were talking, I think, in one of the episodes about sporting director.
Last week or the week before,
mentioned that it's not something that South Africa has. I'm like, we've had it, just not being titled as sporting director, but the likes of Skrima has been doing that for years.
We saw it at Prof Palacios as well.
You know,
did it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, sad loss for South Africa. Sad loss.
A tree has fallen.
A tree has fallen, and may his soul rest in peace, man. It's so emotional too. You know, I mean, that man has been a pillar for Orlando Pirates for years. You know, and
for South African football, I'd say,
of course,
you know,
of course, you know, and
yeah,
and he's done so much for South African football, you know, and
first coach to actually coach South Africa after isolation,
yeah.
He's the one who gave the likes of your Dr. Khumalo's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, interesting stat, he's the only coach who's ever coached siblings. Do you know who those siblings were? Or not siblings, family, or
at Bafana Bafana,
yes. Or relatives.
Okay. They played together, those relatives, at national team level?
Yes.
And started a football match together?
Yes.
Okay. Give me another clue. Who did they play for locally?
Ah, man, you can work it out. Think 92 and think of people who had the same surname.
Bruh, so I was young. You were 50.
Mm. Yo! I'm surprised.
That's the game for today, actually. Let's do it like that. That's the game. Please work it out. Okay, might as I give a clue.
Yeah.
One of them played for Sundowns.
Only one.
Actually, both of them could have played for Sundowns.
Okay.
And I think one also played for Jomo Cosmos as well.
Ballers
as well on the comments.
Yeah.
Brasten, as coach of Bafana Bafana in 1992, coached relatives.
Okay, we'll give you some time to answer that one. None of us are getting a chair in the studio. Tepi, darling, any parting words before we wrap up?
And respect to him and condolences to his family.
Couldn't agree more. Super Sub, parting words?
Yeah, look, man.
He's googling the answer.
No, I'm not. I'm here.
I'm googling the answer.
Well, technically, looking at the comments from the... yeah, legendary me. I was there when Stan was being appointed as Bafana head coach.
Kimang Masinga. What, Masinga?
There we go. Ah! She got it. But who were the Masingas?
I know Phil Masinga. There's I don't Bennett know the Masinga. Other Masinga.
There we go.
There we go.
It was Bennett and Phil Masinga.
Oh, I didn't know. I wouldn't have.
Did Google help you, darling?
I just saw, like, Masinga just popped up. I was like, okay, it could be him. Because the other ones, I mean, I was a baby.
Okay, so. Well, anyway, thank you so much for that one. Le Moleko, see you again next week.
I had a game, but shorts shorted, like...
give him a break. Give him a break.
Shame, man.
Le Moleko, thank you so much. Tepi, darling, thank you so much. And everybody's favorite super sub, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And most of all, thank you to you, the ballers. Thank you for tuning in every week. Of course, next week we will be back with a little game from
Le Moleko
against Sevilla's under 21s. Yeah, sure, it's fine.
Ah, Marco. It's Sevilla.
It's preseason.
Respect this
Badge. Yeah, maybe we can discuss that in 2 minutes. Marco, if you don't mind.
I knew it.
Okay.
Respect this badge.
Yeah, Len, you had an interesting point, you know, talking about how the three teams are playing.
Sundowns in Austria.
Sundowns is in Austria, Chiefs
in Europe,
in Turkey.
And Pirates is in Spain.
Pirates is in Spain.
Yeah.
The point that I was making is,
yes,
it's cool that they are playing there
and
getting exposed internationally.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel it would have made more sense if they camped and did pre-season on the African continent, because conditions in Spain are all hunky-dory and nice.
And good as what we have here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Conditions in Turkey, nice for Nabi there and his people there. Mm. In Austria, I think it was raining when Sundowns actually arrived there from what I saw. Now, when you're playing AFL or when you're playing Champions League, you are going to Ouagadougou.
Yeah, I think on that point, Len, I'm afraid I'm going to have to agree with you.
Why are you afraid to agree with me?
Yeah, because...
No, Isaac Sadu, I want to go home. These guys are talking about a preseason friendly.
Because we hardly agree on anything, me and
okay.
You know?
Yes.
Because you can't be... It's all good and well to beat Sevilla there, but you can't beat Chwaning FC.
Why don't you go to Botswana? Why don't
It would have been nice for them to play a couple of matches there and also come back here and play something continentally. And chances are,
Pirates, I saw the what you call...
The fixture.
The fixtures. Pirates might actually meet Chwaning FC.
Nah.
Yes.
If they win the preliminary round.
The other thing,
hey, I got the word right today.
You named it.
And you did it like this. Like, yeah.
And again, like go.
Things are going well at the bakery.
Now you've got... Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I just want to check it this weekend, Marco. Yes.
No. You shall rise, my friend.
Anytime.
I mean, go speak to Fadlu. Go play against Simba. Speak to Rulani. Play against Widad. Right?
Yeah.
That actually gives you a better, you know, ending. That's why the Arsenals, the Liverpools, the Man Uniteds, yeah, they'll play against an obscure DC United or whatever. But
I guess, but on the flip side...
They'll play against Marseille even if they play in the USA, right?
On the flip side, Len.
Guys,
we're going to wrap up now. On the flip side as well, Len. With all what we've said, on the contrary, there's also a level of team building that goes with traveling the team overseas to meet all these big clubs and see how they do things, how they play. Because they don't only just go play friendlies, they do other workshops when they're around there.
You are baking today. Anyway. Okay, Marco, you can wrap it up.
Let him cook. They say, let him cook.
No, I don't cook, I bake, like Len says.
Looking forward to next week, Tuesday. We've got a few new introductions to you. We've got the new segment called Len Moleko's ID Office, a great new quiz that you have to look forward to next week, Tuesday. So be sure to join us for that one. We've also got our tactical preview ahead of the new season and other cool new quiz-based segments for you, the ballers. Thank you so much for joining us as you do every week. Thank you so much, Len Moleko.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much, Tepi, darling.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you so much, Super Sub.
Danko.
And thank you so much to you, the ballers. Remember to stay onside with us and Betway. Don't be offside, be onside. Betway.
Get way more. Danko.